This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Terry Erzman, VP of Marketing, GridGain.
Thanks, Ian. Glad to be here. GridGain Systems is an in-memory computing platform vendor. We're based in California, been in business about 10 years now. We have operations throughout the world. We have offices in EMEA, Russia, APAC, here in the United States. We're headquartered here in Foster City, California. We also run the in-memory computing summits, which are open in-memory computing focus conferences that we hold here in Silicon Valley as well as in Europe every year. We're looking forward to our next upcoming event, the in-memory computing summit Europe, which is June 25th and 26th in London.
In-memory computing is not a new technology. It's been around for a while. Where are we at with the technology?
In-memory computing really started decades ago and had a lot of interest in the financial services industry where doing things very quickly translated directly into profits. So there was a reason to spend a lot of money on expensive RAM at the time. The cost of RAM has come down considerably since 20, 30 years ago. It has really opened up use cases for in-memory computing. So now we see it not only in financial services, but it's grown tremendously in industries including fintech, healthcare. It's integrated into software solutions. It drives web scale applications and IoT applications. So we've seen tremendous uptake in the technology and also the availability of the technology in terms of cost and the sophistication of the software and the solutions.
The use case we're most used to coming across is that of a company with a very large database wants to be able to access all the data without having to wait for chunks of data to be loaded and other bits of data to be moved out of RAM. But that's not the only case, is it?
It's not. So in-memory computing really solves a range of use cases that really boil down to companies that are generating a lot of data and need to make sense of it in real time. That can be to drive end-user experiences, make them more positive, or to make decisions for things like aircraft maintenance or 18-wheeler maintenance, or to drive travel booking website, for example, or to make a high-frequency trade. There's a variety of applications, but really it's the big data combined with that need to make a real-time decision, which really drives the use cases for in-memory computing.
If we look at the amount of RAM that fits inside a computer these days, it's gone up substantially over the last 3-4 years alone. There's been almost an arms race amongst server manufacturers. But even that's not sufficient for a single in-memory application these days, is it?
What we tend to see these days, and certainly true for GridGain solutions, is these have become primarily distributed computing solutions. So they're deployed across a cluster of servers. And most folks tend to use commodity servers these days. So it's not the super high-end, most expensive servers. It's the very moderately priced, very widely used servers. And they'll just deploy hundreds or thousands of nodes across their cluster to support their application. And that gives them enough RAM and enough computing power to make the application run up to whatever their SLAs are.
How easy is it for them to be able to split up the data they want to put into RAM? If this is going to be sitting across multiple machines, potentially not all in the same location, then they need to have, first of all, high availability of machines. They need to have very low latency for them to talk. But more importantly, they need to work out what has been placed where for when the software starts to query against it. What challenges are there in this space at the moment?
That's all something that the in-memory computing platforms such as GridGain take care of automatically for you. So they take care of sharing that data. You have control over where you place the data, so you can try and put your data that's being used in calculations close to other data that's being used in the same calculation. So the computing can happen on a single node, but you're doing massive parallel processing, so you're splitting up your calculations across all the nodes in your cluster. So that helps speed things up, but it also handles that issue with your data being spread out throughout your cluster. The other piece that's very beneficial is your data is replicated on multiple nodes within the cluster. So even if one server goes down, your data is still out there. It's still available. Calculations can go on. You can switch out a server while you're doing an upgrade. A server can die and you can just replace it. It doesn't affect your ability to access your data.
One of the big changes we've seen with parallel processing in particular is the move away from CPUs to GPUs. How has in-memory computing evolved? Because historically, GPUs would have to wait for the data to be passed through the CPU to them.
For most in-memory computing solutions these days, they don't take advantage of GPUs yet. GPUs are typically used more for things like machine learning type applications where they're very data calculation intensive. We've, within the last 6 months, introduced machine learning and deep learning capabilities into the GridGain in-memory computing platform. We're doing continuing development in ways that we may be able to take advantage of GPUs for that aspect of what our platform can do. But at this point, most of the in-memory computing that we do and most other vendors do are not GPU driven quite yet. That's probably something that's a good direction for companies coming down the road and a new technology direction for memory computing, but it's not quite there yet for the common technologies that are in use.
You mentioned just then adding machine learning into here. Of course, machine learning and AI are probably two of the hottest buzzwords around in the industry at the moment. What is it that in-memory makes happen for those technologies?
As I mentioned before, our in-memory computing platform is a distributed computing environment. Basically, our machine learning capability is built on a system that is designed to be distributed and handle large data sets. So that can be very useful if you have a very large data set that you're interested in analyzing. The other important piece from in-memory computing standpoint is in-memory computing can be used for HTAP type applications where you're doing transactions and analytics on the same data set. What it opens up the possibility of doing is in-process HTAP, as some of the analyst firms have defined it, and that is where you can train a model, and then in real time, you can continuously train the model as new data comes into your data set. So you can continue to update your model, and you can identify new threats, for example, in terms of fraud detection or new opportunities in terms of more efficient routing of vehicles or airplanes, essentially by training your model in real time and making decisions based on your real-time updated model.
When we think of latency, historically, our biggest challenge was bringing data off of disk into memory and out again. As we've connected machines together, we still have a latency issue because we're talking to one CPU with one set of data. If it needs data from another CPU in another machine, not even in the same server, it has to go out over the network and find it. How hard is the industry working to close that latency down to make these clusters of machines look as if they're just one single large machine?
Part of what we offer is the ability for our users to define their data affinity so they can put data that's going to be used together, typically, if at all possible, on the same server. So then it kind of removes that need to move data around the network as much as possible because the compute happens right on the node. And if the data is largely in RAM in that node, then it obviates that need to try and move data around the network quickly. Because at the end of the day, the speed of light is still what determines how quickly you can do certain activities. So the more you can put things closer together and put the data closer to the compute, the better the system's going to perform.
How widely spread can we build these systems? We have privacy laws coming in at the moment that are now starting to geo-lock large bodies of data. That means that we can't move the data to where we want. It also means that when we want to process the data, it must be processed in situ. We can't make a remote call, even pull it back over the network. Are we able to begin to look at working across multiple continents and multiple countries and resolve the data effectively, or is this on the edge of where the work is going?
There are some capabilities that are available on the system that could help with that type of situation. For example, we do have data center replication capabilities, so you can take the data set and have it in multiple data centers in different zones of the world. And you can certainly deploy different GridGain clusters, so you could deploy them in different continents or countries, so you could keep the data separate within those clusters. But those would probably be the types of solutions that I think would be addressing the type of situation you're describing.
With the conference just coming up, if we look forward to what you're expecting to hear here and what the topics are, what's likely to excite people the most?
Well, there's a few different areas that I think are typically of interest. So one is we have a number of in-memory computing users coming to speak. So they're kind of tales from the trenches type talks where they can talk about how they actually use in-memory computing, what problems it solved, tips and tricks that they've learned along the way. We have a number of typically vendor talks on emerging technologies, so kind of new places where in-memory computing is going, which can be very helpful in terms of tackling the next set of problems that folks are dealing with. typically there's some significant interest in some of the new hardware aspects that are coming along. For example, we'll have someone from SNIA, the Storage Networking Industry Association, who'll be talking about non-volatile RAM, which is obviously a technology that's of a lot of interest for in-memory computing. It's not quite at the point yet where it's being pushed into production applications, but it's certainly a technology that likely has a lot of promise for in-memory computing and the ability to keep your data in RAM and have it there again if your system has to be cycled.
We've had several vendors actually in that space announce how they're going to move their SSD arrays to make them effectively a secondary form of RAM to increase the size of the data sets. And when we hear people like SAP talk about some of their really big projects, they're talking about not just a terabyte or 2 terabytes, we're now into the tens, closing up on the hundreds of terabytes of data being stored in a single application and all held in RAM because of this capability of SSD. What's the limit? How far can we go?
In our case, for GridGain, we have customers that are building systems to have 1.5 petabytes of data in RAM. So that's a large cluster of commodity servers, basically a couple thousand. But we had one end user talk about that at our last in-memory computing summit, for example, about the system they're building, which basically is of a scale comparable to the largest supercomputers in the world these days. So folks are pushing it a long, long ways, and the scalability is really, because it's a distributed computing environment, we haven't hit the limits yet. And petabytes are certainly on the horizon here as these deployments come out.
I look forward to hearing some of this at the summit. Thank you very much, Terry.
I appreciate it, Ian. Thanks for coming.